This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio.
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ripped.
NASCAR.
Four-time Cup champion, Jeff Gordon.
I definitely know where you're coming from, and that's what it really, truly takes.
IndyCar.
She's the newest IndyCar Series winner, Danica Patrick.
I know. Yeah, let's do it.
Formula One.
From the driver's perspective, David Hobbs.
To not have a race in North America, to me, is frankly appalling.
Sports cars.
He's been unstoppable in the factory Corvette, Johnny O'Connell.
It's very cool to be talking to you this time all the way from Le Mans, France.
And NHRA drag racing.
NHRA funny car champ, John Force.
Big money, all the money, cheers. It's just a race everybody wants to win.
WFO Radio is Total Motorsports.
Bring it on.
Fasten your seatbelts. Fire up the ignition. And drop the hammer. Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to WFO Radio.
Okay, I'm not that bad off. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to WFO Radio Ignition. And this is going to be an interesting show. I am now back. Giovanni is back, too. And this is going to be a special kind of show. It's going to be very unique and different than many of the other programs you've heard, in that it probably won't be as good. But
get out of here.
No.
It's going to be better than they expect.
You never know. Sometimes the sick shows are the best ones, because the brain goes to these weird places, sometimes medically induced. But also, we got a Dale Earnhardt Jr. victory to talk about. That's cool. But I'm going to, normally I give the first-time listener speech right now, but there might be a first-time listener out there, and you can listen to this speech, which is the, hey, I don't sound great, it's awful, but it's either this or nothing. It's the this or nothing speech. The this or nothing speech comes in front of the first-time listener speech, because we haven't missed a show. Have we missed a show? Has there ever been a time? Nitro, last night I said I made a definitive statement on Nitro, which was fantastic, by the way, other than me. Matt Hagen saying very intense stuff. I was very excited to see people tweeting about what Matt Hagen said on the show, because people don't realize these guys are saying stuff on Nitro that they don't say anywhere else. Intense stuff. Bob Vandegrift saying intense things about J.R. Todd, about things going down. Intense stuff. People don't realize. Only the devout WFO radio audience. But I sounded terribly, and I said that I had never missed a Nitro show.
I heard you say that.
And I believe that that is true.
I had to go back and research it.
Did you research it? Like, you're coming to me with facts in a second. You're about to tell me whether or not I missed one?
No, you haven't missed one. I had to go back and look.
Wow. That's excellent. I didn't think I had missed one either. The Nitro show we have had since 2009, perfect attendance every week, no matter what has happened, including the horrific, nightmarish, shocking death of our great friend and business partner, Eric.
Yep.
The show must go on. And when you're doing this, obviously, WFO Radio is an entity that is owned by the parent company, Costello Media, which is me. And the whole project... The whole project was designed because of my experience working in the satellite radio industry and being on top of the world and dominating my field and just unbelievable, you know, accruing sick days and all that corporate stuff. And by the way, how many shows did I miss then? We got to get Tommy Noodles on that. The answer is zero. For, like, sickness. Now, there were plenty of times where I went off and did something for entertainment. Vacation, you got to do it. But come on, you're doing a radio show. But we're building an audience, and we want the people out there to rely on the fact that WFO is going to have them something, even if it's a sick-sounding guy. And that's it. So if you can't get through the sick-sounding, you know, every once in a while, a friend or family member, they sound a little, yeah.
Could be an improvement.
To some people, yeah. There's a couple of trolls out there that, you know, can't stand my mug. And are probably, you know, getting a sick thrill. And there you go. So we could not do the show, but we like doing the show. So here's the show, and this is it. But some things will be different. It might be a little bit shorter. We did not pick a winner. Dale Jr. was not picked. Oh, look, look at that. He's catching it.
Oh, that's it. I'm out of here, man.
I'm very excited about the Dale Earnhardt Jr. victory. It got me happy. It got me sad. It got me happy because this is the kid is just... It's unfortunate they had... Really, it came down to a blown right front tire in Kansas is really where it went south. That's the answer to the question. While leading, after leading 46 laps at Kansas, blown right front tire, when many others had blown right front tires as well, and that was the beginning of the end. Got him on the back foot, never caught up, couldn't pull off the miraculous victory required. But goes out to Martinsville, wins the race, wins the grandfather clock. Super exciting. If you're a Dale Earnhardt Jr. fan or a fan of NASCAR in general, you had to feel like something. It's good for the sport, clearly. Did you hear the crowd? Did you notice the sound of the crowd? And you've heard Martinsville victories often. It's Jimmy, it's Denny, it's Jeff Gordon. You've heard those guys. You've heard the crowd. The crowd sounded a little different, didn't they? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned that to me, and the only thing I got to say to that is, duh.
Well, there's an emotional connection to Dale Earnhardt Jr. that as much as these other drivers, you like them, and they're good, and they're talented, and they deserve your respect for their abilities. There's a different level of emotional connection to Dale Earnhardt Jr. because everyone kind of experienced what he experienced with him. And so I think the overwhelming majority of the NASCAR community feels this happiness for him when he wins and with him when he wins that they don't necessarily experience with other drivers. That's all. He's got his dad's fans. He's got his fans. And I really think that he's got pretty much everyone's fans. I don't know that there are too many people. I certainly don't encounter them that are like, oh, I hate Dale Earnhardt Jr. I hate that guy. He's just awful. Because it doesn't seem to be much to be awful about. But a big win by Dale Earnhardt Jr. The real question is, though, it was a good race, top to bottom. It was exciting. It was fun. It was going back and forth. Jeff Gordon comes in second. And there was a little bit of debate about Hendrick Motorsports. Is this the outcome that was best for Hendrick Motorsports on a whole? And Giovanni and I were talking about it. Giovanni maintains, well, no.
Team orders.
Team orders. Not team orders. Or do you mean team orders?
No, I didn't mean team orders per se. I kind of was just insinuating that Dale Jr., out of the kindness of his heart and smartness that he has, should have been like, man, this is great, but for me to win, it doesn't mean anything. If Jeff Gordon wins, we got a 25% chance of bringing home this championship as a team. There's but, no I in team.
But at the time...
There's no I in Dale Jr.
At the time you thought that, though. At the time you thought that, you didn't know that Dale Jr. had never won Martinsville and had spent his entire life that with that as one of the great victories that he really coveted.
No, that's insignificant and irrelevant to me. I guess I'm going to have to come full disclosure here.
Uh-oh.
Listen to the pick show. I had Gordo.
That what it all comes
full disclosure.
Down.
I had Gordo. We needed Gordo to win for the show, for the show, so that we can continue our winning streak and our great playoff record.
So your selfish pick was coming in front of the Dale Jr. happiness.
Of course, Jr.'s already got a very happy life.
See,
even if he never wins another race.
The 640 host that go on Fridays, he had picked Jeff Gordon. So there was all kinds of cross currents going on, positive, negative. I had Jeff Gordon as my A driver in fantasy.
I'm not going to mention your friend's name, but I think he's got a ringer helping him out with his picks. We've been discussing this all year.
He goes back.
And for someone who's got no previous NASCAR knowledge,
little.
He's bringing nuggets and he's making the right picks.
He is making the right picks. He's doing real well. He's embracing it and enjoying it as someone who has never really been
actually
interested.
Listening to the show. That's the most important thing. That Mark is a stick and ball type sport, and
yeah.
even hockey or whatever you want to go. Oh, that's a stick. And he has been watching the chase.
Some
and
of
is
it.
Actually, yeah. Well, I mean, he's not on watching a 4-hour race
more than
but
he would have
paying
been.
Attention to what's going on at the very least because he has a little bit of
skin in the game.
Yeah. I was going to say some kind of interest, vested interest, but yeah,
skin,
that's exactly what it is.
He's got skin in the game. He's doing picks on his show. He
but
likes
more importantly,
the new
right,
format.
He's got some sort of interest in it, and he's paying attention, and he's a guy that would normally not be really paying attention to the NASCAR at all.
Zero. The day after the Ford 400 at Homestead Miami Speedway, they would not discuss the result at all, which is what prompted my vicious attack that you know got the gig going.
Yep.
And great credit to him, because we've had some actually great moments. I tweet out the link. And we got some WFO listeners that do go on there and stream for a few minutes on TuneIn or whatnot. Bottom line, though...
You could just go on the regular net and pick it up from the station's website.
Absolutely. But then as soon as I'm off, immediately sign off.
Well, that's what I do. I go on, well, I got an app for it on my phone.
I'm kidding.
And I listen to the 11:30 to noon segment on Fridays.
Their producer has actually been putting it out on SoundCloud, a link... And so I was able to do that and tweet out the link. It's fun stuff. You know, I don't know what the... it's a flashback to 10 years ago. Mark is my first full-time co-host. And we used to do AM radio and all kinds of interesting stuff that does not need
the
to be brought
up. Dirty Boys.
Don't need to be brought up here. But my thought is this, as I am about to give the results. Because we're trying to go quick here today, Giovanni.
Yeah, it's clear.
All kinds of interesting stuff going down. Because next week I'm going to be out in Las Vegas, Nevada for the SEMA show, the Specialty Equipment Manufacturer Association show. I picked up a kind of a cool gig doing some on-camera video work, which I'm very excited about. So, of course, I get the flu. How did I get sick? The long and short is this. I was totally healthy, and I went to the doctor.
Big mistake.
I wanted to get my yearly... Physical exam, health, you know, where they take you and they hook you up to the EKG and then they make you put your elbows on the table and all the bad stuff happens. But they find out whether you're healthy or not. Well, I went in there and I was waiting in the doctor's office for an hour and 45 minutes and yada, yada. They, did you have the flu shot? I had a flu shot in March, but it's not the same flu shot. This is New Year's flu shot, different types of flu.
Well, there's always different strains of flu.
You clearly know what you're talking about. I had not gotten a flu shot ever until March, and it was the best thing ever, so I hadn't been sick anything. I'd been around really disgusting, sickly people, and I was able to fight it off. You may recall, this is my first time being sick since this whole year. There's been no episodes of sickness. Go back into the file. And so, she's like, let me give you the flu shot. I was like, give it to me. Hit
me. I'm going to have to research that.
Do it. And gave me the flu shot, walked out of there. Friday night, the nephew's big birthday extravaganza at the Maikai Polynesian show in beautiful Fort Lauderdale, which was fantastic. I could do just segment upon segment about how great it was and the whole tiki themed yada yada, whatever. And then Saturday morning, out there on the beach at the legendary Yankee Clipper in Fort Lauderdale, where the Yankees used to stay, and it's just a historic place. Tweeting out photographs, taunting people by accident, apparently, because I had some people tell me that what I was doing was cruel and mean.
What, showing the pictures of the nice scenery?
Of the beautiful beach, yeah. Apparently they're in cold weather places already.
Come on down. Gio will help you find a place to live.
See, I'm trying to help your business, man. I'm doing that. I am damaging my own stuff. By tweeting beautiful pictures of bikini-clad girls on the beach, drink in hand, umbrella in drink. It's late October, and people are in the water. It's gorgeous, while others are already, they're salting sidewalks, and it's like the plows. You know, they're oiling the plows. They're getting ready.
No, and our weather just actually got nice. The humidity just left a couple weeks ago.
Any one of these people could be moving right down here to beautiful South Florida. Vacation home, condo, house. You know, there's all kinds of options. And so I'm tweeting out these pictures. Apparently they're cruel. That's cruel. That's cruelty. I shouldn't be doing it. But then midday, I'm like, you know, what is that feeling? Maybe someone gave me the evil eye. They put the malocca on me. They got me with the thing because I was sent.
Yeah, but I don't think that
pictures.
Works over the net, man. I think you have to be in person.
I don't know. Well, anyway, I started to respond very negatively to, I'm guessing, the flu shot. The flu shot gave me the flu. Is that possible? I don't know. It's one of two things. Flu shot gave me the flu, or I just got the flu inside this doctor's office for an hour and 45 minutes. One or the other.
Was there other sickos in the lobby or waiting room or that first waiting room out there?
There were people around, but nobody appeared to be sloppy sick. Here's the one. Nance says, that's cruel, Joe. It was 36 when I got up this morning. It's up to 46 now.
Wow. Sure, you got to move, man.
He says it sure is pretty, though. It's pretty.
The 46 or the 36?
The 46.
Yeah, get
probably
out of here.
In the mountains or something.
It's pretty. It's pretty from indoors. I've been to that cold weather. The last time I went to that really extreme cold was in Bangor, Maine, and it was so cold that we haven't been back to the cold.
Well, your camera froze.
Yeah, my camera froze was the least of it. My bones were freezing. Yeah, that's. I was shocked by that. And then one of the locals looks at me like I'm a dummy and goes, oh, is that a weatherproof camera? I'm like, weatherproof? Weatherproof camera where I'm from means that you could throw it in the pool.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense. The people up in Brainerd, Minnesota.
Oh, they would know.
They explained to me the whole deal. I was like, so life, does it just go on? How does it go on? Like, do you guys just, yeah, obviously you go to work, right? They're like, yeah. I go, but come on, does somebody really decide it's 15 below, it's February 2nd? Hey, I'm going to go over to the Chevy dealership and buy a car. I don't think so. People are not buying cars. In fact, they're like, yeah. They weren't like, yeah. They were like, yeah, of course. We take the snow machine over and try...
The snow plow. Yeah.
Snow machine. This is a sled.
Or was it the wood chipper? Like in Fargo.
The Minnesota people, of all the people that I met over my travels over the past year or two, were right in direct competition for the nicest people that I have met.
Yeah.
They were like super friendly and super genuine. And I didn't need anything from them, but it was almost like I would like to have tried to see if I needed something, what they would have given me. It's like, listen, oh, guys, you know, problem here. Can I have, you know, those jeans you're wearing? I need them. It's a big problem I've got right now. Oh, sure. Here.
I think you're just accustomed to the big city life where we're just walking with the blinders on and you don't want to deal with anybody.
Earbuds
millions
in,
of people
blinders
all
on.
No, I don't walk with the earbuds in, but there's millions of people all around and you just don't want anybody to ask you for anything. So you just...
Right, don't...
When someone asks you for something, it's a little bit... It's like, whoa, wait a minute, what do you... You know, are you trying to... Are you got your hand in my pocket? What's going on here?
Excuse me, I thought we were trying to sell this place. Everyone's friendly here, everyone's cool, it's a cool thing, cool environment. You know... I'm a little north of where Gio is. Gio's down there in Miami. Like, you know, you saw Miami Vice. You know what it's like. Up here in Broward, it's much, much more laid back. We were just talking about this. Right, can we talk some...
It really is. We call you guys Broward cowards. But
yes.
Anyway, let's...
But we're really a peaceful bunch.
I got
up
an
here.
Idea. Look at this.
Yeah, we've had some good cars here, so it just feels good to finish the deal.
Wow, Dale Earnhardt Jr. I'm a very happy fan right now. This was a great experience. Dale Earnhardt Jr. defeats Jeff Gordon... Great victory, one driver over the next. Dale Jr. just drove the wheels off the car, door banged, and just flicked this insignificant other racer right out of the way and goes on to victory with authority. Is that the only audio you have of Dale Jr.? Let's listen to the full Dale Earnhardt Jr. audio.
It sure is.
Is this a big deal?
I love the history of the sport and just can't get enough of... like all these pictures on the wall in here. I just know this place has a special meaning and a special place in the series and in the sport. We've been coming here so many years. I've been coming here since the early 80s watching races here, and Dad won several races here, brought home several clocks. I remember one in particular that sat at the front door. and in the hall by the stairs, and had this little round rug right in that hallway that I'd race my little Matchbox cars on, listen to the race on the Motor Racing Network, and that clock would ring on the hour. I always wanted one, and I came close, I think, several times. We had some good finishes here. Even with the Tony Sr. and Tony Jr. in the Bud days, we had some pretty quick cars here. And several races, I think the car should have won, but the driver didn't. And it all worked out. Everything has to, I know by running here so many times, that everything has to go right for you. And really, at pretty much every race you win, it all has to fall into place. And everything was hitting on all cylinders. We had amazing pit stops. We had a really smart, good, aggressive strategy by Steve. And the engineers there were giving him great information, giving him confidence to make good choices. And at the end, we had to get the right things, had to happen on that restart to get by those guys, and it just sort of did. So I couldn't believe it. I still really can't believe it because the clock seems so hard to get. So this is so special, and I try not to get too caught up in the emotion of it because it's a team deal. But this is very personal and very special to me to be able to win here.
See, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with that? Where's the downside to that? Come on, that's a guy pouring his heart out. He's there. He's got his Matchbox cars.
Well, I hadn't heard that when I was thinking that he should have
pulled
over.
Aside.
I told you, I didn't think he should just pull over, but there's ways to do things.
No, there's not, first of all.
But no, you know what? After hearing that, I thought, it almost brought a tear across my eye.
It did bring a tear across my eye because I think about...
Yeah, well, you're frail.
It's not frailty, man. It's about having that connection to understanding the past and the future and watching your little son play with his little Hot Wheels cars, not Matchbox necessarily, Hot Wheels. Those are the ones that I like to get him. I got him this great track for his birthday. But the idea that Dale Jr. carries all of that with him everywhere...
No wonder he hardly ever wins.
And for him, what do you mean this year?
He's got all this stuff in his brain thinking about when he was a little kid playing with cars. No wonder he's not winning races.
That's not what it is.
That's not what it is. Right.
His father, his mentor, his guiding light, the sun, the moon, the stars, his only most powerful thing that guided him his whole life was ripped away from him. And then there was just darkness for a long time. And Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson and Tony Stewart and Kevin Harvick, none of them have had to deal with that. And that's the difference. That is the difference. And anybody who ever says anything about Dale Jr., talent, ability, or mental stamina, is not understanding the value of that moment. That you cannot go through that and not be... permanently affected, either through extreme nostalgia or a longing to go back. It never goes away. And that's what happened. So by breaking through here, this is just another example of Dale Earnhardt Jr. Being able to be freed up a little bit.
No, I got to say, that was great. I take back everything I said. I take it all back. Jr. deserves the win.
See you?
He won it out on the track, and now that I see how sentimental and emotional he really is, I almost even feel a little bad even thinking that he should have let Jeff Gordon win.
Yeah. See, now you're a flip-flopper. It's even worse now. You should have stuck to your guns. Now you can't hold your own position.
No, it's not a flip-flopper. Nah, look,
I'm kidding.
I am advanced enough
don't fight
that
me.
My mind I'm can kidding. Be changed.
Well, exactly. And he did, and also they've had many good runs here. Back in the Budweiser days, there was one time where the whole front of the car was off and yada yada, et cetera, and so on. But watching your dad win somewhere as you're a kid, the grandfather clock, he's tweeting out pictures of the clock in his house. It is a very popular win. But we're going to talk about the rest of the field because ultimately Dale Jr. it's just a trophy to him. The points don't matter. Maybe he'll finish ninth, and who cares? It's just about trophies for him because he's not in the chase. But who is in the chase? That is a different story. We're going to get into all of that. Should Kevin Harvick have taken out Matt Kenseth? We got to do picks. We'll talk about my great fantasy day, and we'll see who's still in the fantasy league. Like, I don't know. I haven't checked. I know nothing. So we will see all that when we come back. But first, I want to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, guess where he's going? He's going to Texas, baby, Texas Motor Speedway. We got any WFO listeners going to be out there hanging in Texas? You might see Marvin. Marvin is going out there and going to enjoy a little playoff atmosphere NASCAR. We just enjoyed a little hardcore WFO radio blend coffee.
We sure did.
And that is probably
got us geeked up.
Well, I'm giving it the credit for the show this week. There is a high probability you might not even be hearing this show if I wasn't able to get motivated for this hour or so that we're going to do. Over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom blends like we're drinking right now, WFO Radio and Bang the Blower, not to mention the exotics like the Sumatra Kopi Luwak and the Panama Geisha, the Australia. He gets it all. He's on the phone. He's dealing with these farms, buying farm direct. Some of these farms, they're small. 10 sacks of coffee a year. That's it. Marvin is like working it, and you can get some. And then he roasts it fresh per your order. So when you want some WFO Radio blend or Bang the Blower or whatever it is that you want, go on the website, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, to figure it out. Marvin actually prefers if you call him and explain what you're looking for. It's a big customer service attitude. But then he roasts it fresh for you and then ships it out. It is very, very cool. 817-924-6821. I know there's some people out there that are, I'll call them coffee files. You know, they're really heavy into the coffee.
Can we call them bean heads?
We'll experiment.
I just made up that term
we'll
on the spot.
Experiment with beanhead for a few moments. But the point is, people are very serious about their coffee. Bobby Graham's friend, Matt, very serious about his coffee. When he goes on a trip, he brings his own coffee with him. This is an opportunity to try all kinds of stuff. You give Marvin a call, 817-924-6821. Explain what you like, what you're looking for, what you're thinking about, and he might put you into something that you don't even know exists and don't have access to. It's not available in your store. You cannot go purchase it. It's not at the counter. The barista down the street is not brewing it up for you. This is something that can be unique, and I think that's why Rodax is such a great relationship.
Yeah, no, this is the gourmet stuff. This isn't the stuff that Bonnie buys at the supermarket.
Couldn't have said it better myself. But on top of all of that, there is the barbecue spice rubs and recipes at the website, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Which are great with everything. I know it's turning fall, and a lot of people are going to be grilling out on their balconies in the winter. Got to keep it going. You can get yourself some of the A26 spice rub. And the hot sauces is really what Giovanni and I have really, really gravitated to. Because it's something you can enjoy with everything. Eggs in the morning, steak at night. The hot sauces go on everything. There are four different flavors. We love them all. Money Man loves them. Everyone who has encountered them absolutely loves them. Give them a call, 817-924-6821. That's RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. And if you're walking around Texas Motor Speedway, you just might see him say, "Hey, Marvin, go Junior." We'll be back after this.
This is WFO Radio.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the streets. That's Redline Oil.
Hey, racing fans, this is Big Dave Lemon, the host of Poker Action Line Radio. And I know you guys are big racing fans, but you probably like poker as well. So why not tune into a great poker show featuring interviews with poker stars and some of the greats of the game? That's Poker Action Line. You can find it on iTunes by searching Poker Action Line, or pick it up on our website at PokerActionLine.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
Welcome back to WFO Radio. How's everybody doing out there? That was an interesting first segment. You know, we got a lot in there. We got a lot in. The not feeling well under the weather programs tend to go all over the place like that. But now, do you think the first-time listener is still hanging in there?
Absolutely.
I think so. Hey, first-time listener, thanks for hanging out with us this long, and we hope you will subscribe and listen to the show on a weekly basis. We are trying to grow our flock.
It's Wednesday. We're still early enough. We're not going to impede the World Series. You guys can listen to this.
Or maybe it's Thursday and the game is over and the Royals have already won.
Yeah.
Or maybe,
could be.
Maybe the Giants have won.
Yeah, I think the Royals are going to pull it off.
I hope so. But really, I have no dog in the fight and don't care at all because I'm a New York Yankee fan.
No, I'm telling you because of the home team situation. Game 7. First of all, there's nothing better than a Game 7 in any sport.
No, I'm going to be locked in. I'm excited about it. It's going to be very interesting, but there's a lot going on this week. You know, Texas, that's going to be very interesting. The NHRA, Vegas, that is going to be interesting. And I will be headed out to Vegas on Monday after the race for SEMA. All interesting stuff, but we got to talk fantasy results. We got to talk all kinds of stuff, including the United States Grand Prix. That's a big one, too.
Lewis.
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Lewis is going to win.
Lewis was on the Today Show.
I missed it.
You could have sneezed and closed your eyes, and by the time your sneeze was over, you missed it. If I was Lewis Hamilton, I would be angry. Because he was on the Today Show for 11 seconds. They go, hey, we're on the Today Show, and right now someone who you know, there's a Today Show host, they're outside right now with somebody. And then they go to the outside camera, and then there's Lewis, and Lewis is looking like he's dressed up fancy. How do I describe it? He has a hat on.
Well, he's Euro, so we know he dresses all fancy looking. And
that's it, exactly. The guy looked like Elvis Costello. That's all you need to know. He's Euro. He's very Euro. And he was stylish. He looked like he could have been in a band or something. You know, Nicole probably dressed him. Or maybe not. Who cares? It doesn't even matter. They're standing by the car. And it's the host and Lewis. And they're like, wow, Formula One's real popular. He's like, yes, we're growing really big in America. And he's like, well, why do you think that is? He's like, because Americans like competition. And they like racing. And we're competition in racing. And he goes, I love being in America. And it's great. That's it. Bye, Lewis. And it was over. I felt like they could have spent... Dear, this guy is cool-looking, he's dressed hip, he's in this race car, they're outside, his fans all showed up, he had a whole bunch of people cheering his name and whatnot, and they spent...
There's a million things, a myriad of things they could have gone into, Mercedes...
Come on, 11 seconds.
They could have even... You know what? It's a Today Show. They should have mentioned the fact that he's Nicole's boyfriend.
Absolutely, they should have.
They should have made it a little entertainment and put a correlation with the people.
They could have... easily done that. It was a very big disappointment. I was a little bit shocked at how bad a job they did.
Because
I'm getting my Twitter guy is just tweeting tweet after tweet after tweet about Lewis Hamilton is on the set of the Today Show and Lewis Hamilton and he's taking selfies and Lewis Hamilton. I'm like, wow.
Well, I saw it last night and I got all excited myself.
This is going to be a big deal. Lewis Hamilton on the Today Show, and it was 11 seconds long. He says he loves North America because he got his first and second win here. His first win in Canada and his second win in Indianapolis. Which, little funny stat.
Weren't you there?
I was there. That was the one Formula One race I've attended in real life. I saw Lewis Hamilton's first victory in the United States. But you know what the real stat is of that?
Hit me.
I saw Sebastian Vettel... earn his first career point. That's the stat.
In the Toro Rosso?
No, it was in a BMW.
Oh, it was driving the Williams car.
Yeah. No, it was in a... I thought it was a BMW.
Oh, the BMW, all right.
Now I'm going to have to go back
and do some research.
That's a Geo's Tools thing. Just look up 2006 Indianapolis and find out what Vettel was. Maybe I'm totally wrong. And if I am, it's the medication. Here is the final results... to Martinsville, presented by AutoZone. That's a nice backup.
I liked how you passed the buck there. That was awesome.
Wouldn't it be cool to have that always? Just a total get-out-of-jail-free card from when you mess up. Hey, it's the medication, man. Please, I'm trying. Dale Earnhardt Jr. wins the race. Everyone's happy. Jeff Gordon, second. Ryan Newman, third. Tony Stewart, fourth. Got just door-banged right out of the way. But he was happy. You're happy. All the Tony Stewart fans are happy. I'm happy for Tony as well. That was great. Dale Jr. didn't have to totally humiliate him like that, but he was on fresh tires. It was about momentum more than anything else.
Yeah, he's lucky that T. Stewart didn't channel his dad there and take him out.
Even if he did, he's lucky he didn't break the suspension, because that was pretty hard contact. Fifth was Joy. Sixth, Matt Kenseth. We will discuss Matt, because I think there's a big... this is sour taste right now with Matt. Seventh, Clint Boyer. Eighth, Denny Hamlin. That was my pick. Not so great. He led a bunch of laps, but then they let the handle get away. That's a perfect example of how it can go. Eighth, A.J. Allmendinger. Ninth, David Ragan. Tenth, Kyle Busch. 11th. Kyle Busch was down here in Miami doing a media hit this week, promoting the Ford 400. I questioned, like, why Kyle Busch? He's out. But it was interesting. Got into it with one of our local radio hosts. We might have some time to banter about that. It was kind of funny. Gio's like, put it on, put it on, put it on. And they basically hung up on each other. Austin Dillon, 12th. Just found out. It looks like I'll be doing an event around the Ford 400 race with Austin Dillon. So that's going to be kind of fun. Nothing official yet. You know, our people are still working on the details. Greg Biffle is 13th, Paul Menard 14th, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., the boyfriend, 15th. 16th, Jamie McMurray. 17th, Justin Allgaier. 18th, Cole Witt. 19th, Landon Castle. 20th, Carl Edwards. 21st, Eric Almirola. 22nd, David Gilliland. 23rd, Marcus Ambrose. 24th, Michael Annette. 25th, Josh Wise. Then Mike Wallace and Brian Vickers and Kyle Fowler and Alex Bowman and Kyle Larson and Brad Keselowski. There you go. Broken Axel, 31st. He is in the win or you're out group already, just like that. Jimmy Johnson, 32nd. Kevin Harvick, 33rd. Win or you're out. This is where, let me just get to the end of this and I'll explain what I mean. Danica, 34th. Drivers looking at Danica's rear end, Reed Sorensen, Kurt Busch, Casey Mears, Martin Truex Jr., who Danica moved out of the way in textbook Martinsville fashion. Do you remember seeing that? And then later in the race, Martin Truex Jr. just spins her out.
Yep.
I want to put that on the exhibit table as Exhibit A. Danica gets treated differently by everybody, even though it is not really discussed. How many drivers took positions by bump the guy out of the way, take the position? It happened hundreds of times. Danica did it to Truex. Truex couldn't take it. He had to show her, no, you can't do that to me. And he just spun her out. Now, maybe there's more to the story, whatever, but those two incidents, they even said, they were talking about Danica with a very textbook move right there. That's exactly how you do it. Wow, we're very good, Danica. But Truex just can't take it. J.J. Yaley, Casey Kane, Travis Qualpel, Timmy Hill, Clay Rogers. Casey Kane was into it. There was a little back-and-forth battling. Kurt Busch was on fire. But really, Kevin Harvick and Matt Kenseth is what I want to talk about because, Gio, we got a problem here. Lowe from Los Chincones had created this point system, which I have right here, and he emailed me, and he's like, let's save it for the off season because it's complicated, and I agree. Thank you, Lowe, for giving us something to talk about during the off season. But what's happening is we're seeing a formula emerge. You know, I don't know if it's a formula or an algorithm or what is it. You got to help. But if you get a finish below X, then you can't catch up without winning. You have to win your way in is basically what is ending up happening. And maybe the number is 30th, or but if you get taken out of a race by a broken axle or Matt Kenseth driving into the back of you and taking you out and using you as a cushion to save himself, you can't. You cannot perform consistently enough to finish in the top four in this round. I don't think. That's what I'm putting out on the table. We have no statistical evidence. There's probably a formula.
Yes, of course. There's some sort of algorithm, algebraic equation, whatever you want to call it. But here's the deal.
But
the only way it would work out, though, is if the guys that are in 1-4 this week finish in the back.
Right, all four of them, all of them.
Or at least two of them.
If everybody over the next two races that is in the top eight experiences some sort of horrific thing. See,
because
Harvick.
Really only two guys finished real bad, which was Brad Kay and Harvick.
Two
the other guys, oh, and Edwards was in the mid-20s.
Brad Kay, you can say, those are the brakes. That's racing. Your equipment broke. That's your fault. You didn't bring it to the table, and so that's it. You're out. We're looking for perfection. You need to complete the laps. You need to finish in the top 10 if you want to advance. You should be lucky, Brad Kay, that you even have the opportunity still to move forward.
That the new system allows you to
right.
be able to continue.
And I'm okay with that. What I am not okay with, Kevin Harvick running a good race, Matt Kenseth.
I think they were both in the top 10 at the time.
Matt Kenseth makes a mistake. He's the one who has a problem. He's the one who loses control of his car. He's the one who is out of control, crashes, and takes out Kevin Harvick. And Harvick goes into the wall, finishes 33rd. Matt Kenseth, because he hit Harvick, he is able to go on and finish 6th, and he is still in the championship contention. See right there? Now someone will say, well, that's racing, Joe. That's exactly how it is. And I agree, except I, as a human, citizen, person, could not possibly accept that as an outcome. No way. And it's also, as someone who has raced toe-to-toe, head-to-head, gone mano-a-mano with Matt Kenseth.
See, I was going to say, I think Matt Kenseth, you say that it was just an accident and stuff. I think that's his M.O. Trying to put people in the wall to pass them.
I've lived it, and it is, and he did, and it happened.
We've seen it happen firsthand.
There is no way. And I defeated him, by the way. I didn't get to that big crescendo I was building up to, is that I looked Matt Kenseth in the face and went out there on the track and I defeated him. Man against man. And he tried putting me in the wall over and over again and wrecking me. And it was a horrific nightmare display. And yet and still, I was able to rally back and get him and beat him and defeat him and make him angry. And it's still a legend amongst the police. How about Officer Tim still talks about it to this day? It's a great moment down here. They sing songs about it. But if I'm Harvick, I'm not that good a sportsman. I'm telling you right now, like, I couldn't live with it. I could not live with it. So wait. We're racing. I'm racing good. You're racing good. You mess up. You crash me out. You go on, and you're still in the championship. Kenseth suffers no penalty for his own mistake. Harvick is suffering the penalty of Kenseth's mistake. I think Harvick should have retaliated immediately. I think Harvick should have taken out Kenseth and put him in a 30th or worse points situation, just like him, and then after the race said, look, man, you just can't expect me to allow you to take the spot from me that you created by taking me out. Like, that's just not acceptable. You just can't. I know you didn't mean to do it. But you did. You don't get to take advantage now. You have to fight from the situation you put me in as well. And Harvick swears, Harvick has sworn that Kenseth will not win the title. But I do not know that he is going to back up that kind of swearing. I just don't see it. I really don't. Because you know how it is, a couple of weeks later, you don't have the same kind of vitriol or anger or all of that, and we will see. But there you have it. Those are the results from Martinsville. It is in the books. It was a very fun and exciting
Allow
race.
Me to attack someone before we move on from
yes.
Martinsville. I would like to attack Ricky Craven.
Oh, thank you for bringing
ESPN.
This up.
On ESPN, post-race, as we're waiting for the Dale Jr. interview, he says that Jeff Gordon should be preparing his car for Homestead.
Yeah.
I mean, is that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard? I mean, I know he finished first of all the chase drivers, but he didn't win.
Nope.
He's not locked in.
Nope.
So, is Ryan Newman preparing his car for Homestead? Because he came in third, one spot right behind Gordo.
Ricky Craven.
I mean, I like Ricky Craven. He sometimes has good things to say, but I found that to be a ridiculous statement, to say the least.
He misinformed the regular sports audience. First of all, that's we're going to miss that when the ESPN goes away. That Sports Center right after the race, talking about the race segment,
yeah, that
tap dance segment, that's really good. And Ricky Craven's job, here's what his job is. His job is to try his best to convert racing speak to stick and ball style speak. This situation is kind of like this situation. And he does okay at it, but there are times where he really does a bad job. And this one that Gio brings up, thank goodness he brought it up, because everyone's steam was coming out of the ears. He absolutely blatantly misinformed everyone. Jeff Gordon cuts a tire lap 5 of Texas and hits the wall. Guess what, folks?
And comes in 38th. He's out. He's got a win or that's it.
He's got to win Phoenix or that's that. He's not making it to Homestead. We already know that one tag of the wall and you're out.
So, yeah, that was it. I just wanted to attack Ricky Craven
I think that was
to get in my regular sports talk segment right there.
Jeff Gordon, Ryan Newman, Joy, and Matt Kenseth are the drivers that transfer at the moment. Denny Hamlin is 2 points out. Carl Edwards, a considerable drop.
Well, he came in 20th, and that's it right there. And Hamlin, I think, came in 8th. Yep. So that's the difference right there.
Yeah.
12 spots.
Keselowski is 7th. Harvick is 8th. And I would say that, all those guys, they need help.
Well, Edwards, Brad Kay, and Harvick are really in a position that if they almost essentially have to win. Maybe Edwards has a little bit of a chance to catch Denny Hamlin there, but we're going to tracks where Hamlin's also good at. Hamlin's always been good at Phoenix, always good at Texas. Carl Edwards has a chance to win this week, although their cars haven't been fast, and we're forgetting the fact that Carl Edwards is leaving his team, and nobody that has ever switched teams has won a championship.
That was a point I brought up on the terrestrial show.
Oh,
if
the Nuggets.
Kenseth finishes in the top five of the next two races.
Oh, he's in for sure, because
Carl Edwards cannot catch him.
Right. He cannot make up the difference.
He has to win. That's all I'm saying. There's still like something more, another tweak, some sort of mathematical, like a curve. They've got to create some sort of curve to help make this less damaging.
Absolutely.
The one bad run just wipes you out of a whole playoff run, a three-race segment. It's like, well, we've already seen it. The first race goes terribly, and then the next two races, they're just swinging at the fences. Dale Jr. and Jimmy Johnson were just swinging at the fences. Brad Kay. Now Brad Kay and Kevin Harvick are going to be swinging at the fences for two races. Maybe they'll hit with a home run. Or maybe not.
Well, there's a good possibility, though. Mile and a half tracks. This is the last one we're going to this year, the 10th race. The previous nine, five have been won between Brad Kay and Joy. And the other four were won by Hendrick-type cars, one of them being Charlotte Harvick, and that's a Hendrick engine. And then the others were won by Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, and Casey Kane.
We shall see. All right. Where are we in time?
We can break.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with fantasy results. We'll play the Hippie Tippy. We'll talk U.S. Grand Prix. Then we'll make our picks because it's not time for a little more Rodax, I think. It's almost time. It's almost time, baby, for a little more Rodax. But right now, I'm going to tell you about another one of our great sponsors, the Frank Hawley Drag Racing School. This is one where you folks, if you love the show and you listen to the show and you're thinking, next year I want to do something special. This is not what I expect. We have different kinds of sponsors. If you want to order some coffee, you can do that right now. And you could be enjoying it in a couple of days. And you can be listening to the show, sipping your coffee, pouring hot sauce on your breakfast in the morning when you listen to the show. The Frank Hawley Drag Racing School, this is an experience. It's something that you're going to do, and you're going to make plans to do, and you're going to build up to it, and you're going to have your calendar, and you'll be crossing off the days to this experience, the Dragster Adventure. Driving a Dragster. It's a course specifically designed for drivers that want to drive a dragster and maybe even compete side by side without committing the time and the resources to become a licensed race car driver in one of their licensing courses. You'll go 0 to 60 miles per hour in 3 seconds. You'll reach 130 miles per hour in the quarter mile. Not to mention the side by side racing. Go to the website, frankhawley.com, and bring up the Dragster Adventure. You'll see they've got a schedule, and they travel around the country. This year, we've talked about them in Ohio. We have talked about them in California. They have been all around the country. It starts off at $399, and you're thinking, well, $399, that's a pretty big investment. Yes, it is. If you're thinking about just the money you're plunking down on the table, but for a full day experience in a race car, multiple runs on a track, working with Frank Hawley, suddenly it's like, wow, this is a great value. This is one of the great values out there in all of racing. There are other schools, there are other experiences, you know how much they are. The idea that you're going to be in control, not a ride along, not some pro driver doing all the fun stuff while you just sit there and hang on. You do all the fun stuff. Multiple runs. Instruction from Frank. It's one of those deals. You just take a $20 bill and you put it in an envelope every week and you write Dragster Adventure on it. And when you get enough money in there, you go. 866-480-7223. That's a number. Tell them you heard it on WFO Radio, and tell them what you're thinking of doing, what you want to do. You can go to the website, frankhawley.com, to find out more. They do bachelor parties. They do group events. They do sales teams. You want to get a group of clients together and reward them for being great clients of yours. Do something special, something they'll remember forever, not just the average, hey, let's go out and do paintball. Let's do something that everyone will remember forever, the Dragster Adventure. 866-480-7223. Tell them you heard it here on WFO. That's frankhawley.com.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. The summer is over. The holidays are coming. The winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax coffee by going to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener and HRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
They got to make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Video. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
WFO!
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 Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Hey, this is Dylan Hart Jr., and you're listening to Joe Costello on WFO Radio.
All right, fading fast here on WFO Radio. Got to get into the fantasy results. Make our picks and get ready for a little Texas, baby, Texas. See, I just had something great I was going to say to Giovanni, and it's just gone, just like that. It's just gone.
It was a lie.
It was a lie. All right, let's get into the fantasy results. Let's do that, because I want to talk a little Formula One before we get on out of here. This is big. I have not seen any of the results just yet. I do not know. The weekly winner... After Martinsville, there are three races remaining. Five Ken Drive scores 369 points. 10 points above James Gang, who scored 359. James Gang was tied with Spark It Up with 359. Mattitude, 358. DRT 99 with 357. Craig Schenkel Racing, 356. Four Zilch Racing scored 351, along with Eastern Competition and the Rumblers, and tied with WFO Joe, 351. I made the top 10 again, baby. Yeah, here come. How many points did Giovanni
you
get?
You actually came in 7th.
Yeah. Well, a big tie, 7th or 10th. But I'll take
no,
it.
No, I had a decent day. I had 330-something, so you didn't make up too much ground.
Boo. That's the way it always works. Why couldn't I add this 351 a day?
Oh, I would have had a huge day, but I had Larson instead of Austin.
I had Austin. I got Austin all the way, man. That's the way it's going to be. Five Can Drive with the most points. DRT 99 up 12 positions is the biggest gainer. JJ 48 Rocks and JG 24 LKB are the biggest losers, down 10 positions. 10. Wow. Okay, here it is. This is the big stuff right now. Overall points leader to have your name, your team name, embossed on the Tom Patsis welded and designed WFO Radio Fantasy League trophy that now resides right in front of us both.
It's arm's length away.
In the studio. We have moved
literally
it into the studio. It's with us now. If I would love to take a photograph and tweet it, except my phone is ruined by the new iOS 8, so I can't do it.
I'm sorry to hear that. What on earth would inspire you to do something like just download the new iOS onto an old phone?
You said, yeah, do it. It's got you think. First of all, well, it's Apple's fault. I'm not blaming you too much. They shouldn't be giving me updates that I cannot use on my phone. If the phone can't handle it, they shouldn't send it to this phone. This phone should sense that it can't handle the update and not accept the update. So it's lurking, iOS 8, am I going to do it? And I'm like, no, mine is working great, my phone is working great. You realize this is killing all the fantasy people, they want to know who's leading. We're just stabbing them in the back a little bit.
Well, there was no change.
The bottom line is, I can't tweet a picture, I can't tweet anything.
You want me to take
totally
the picture
crippled
and send it to you?
And then I still can't do anything with it. Here is the overall fantasy league score. The leader, smothered and covered by 19 points over Pink Powder Puff Racing. I think Powder Puff closed it in, right?
Might be. I think smothered and covered is pulling away. I'm going to check back to last week's results real quick.
Check back to last week's. Was it 18? Was it 19? Was it more?
It was 18.
Oh, so he is. He's pulling away by 1 point. Now, listen, I think Pink Powder Puff is hanging tough now.
No, we got a battle up front. These guys are door to door.
Youper won 82 points out in third.
Well, he was 126 last week, so he's made up some ground.
Big move by Youper.
Big move by Youper.
You got to start talking about him. He's in the conversation. 001 Red, 105 out in fourth.
He was 157. Everybody's pulling in.
The Northwest Nitro Fanatics, 158 out in fifth.
He made a huge move. He was a 237 out last week.
They did not gain any positions. None of these people gained positions.
That just goes to show you how hard it really is.
Tightened up, though. Robertson Racing, 189 out in sixth.
He was tied for sixth with JG24, and he was 247 out last week.
Tremendous move forward.
That's another 50, 60 points forward.
What did Smothered and Covered get this week?
Wow, you see, now you're putting me in a different position. That's a different page, but I'm going to go look for it for you.
Yeah, please. We got to find out what these guys' point scores are, because I'm guessing that they both had terrible days and that a massive opportunity was missed by somebody, one or the other. Seventh is Four Zilch Racing, 203 out. Eighth, the Dirty Hippies, 227 out. He's not out of it, folks. He's not out of it.
He made up some space, too. He was 268 out last week.
40 points up. Team Jimmy J is ninth, and Going Chad, 882, is 10th. Team 14 is 11th, and I believe, if I am correct, that Team 14 has called in the wide open line. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, guys. This is Mike, Team 14. Thought I'd give you guys a call in, checking on this fantasy championship here. Speaking to Joe a little bit earlier on Facebook, and thought I'd give you guys a call in and discuss what we're talking about. Took a hard hit in points last week in Martinsville. I went through a little different strategy this year, trying to use some of the B drivers and, you know, mix in some of the A drivers and C drivers early and try to save the best for last for the chase. And it started working out pretty good. I think I was in the mid-40s, 600, 700 points behind, and I knocked it down to around the mid-200s now. But I pretty much set up my lineup before the chase even started, have it all mapped out. And I was going to make a change last week. It cost me big time. I was going to put the 24 in. I figured, you know, he's going to be in the chase, that he needs a good run. But I just had a feeling since Jimmy Johnson didn't make the chase, and he's been so good at Martinsville, that he was going to dominate and win one for Hendrick due to the 10-year anniversary and everything. And then he ended up wrecking and pretty much cost me 80 points. I really wish I went with my gut and took the 24. I'm still in it. I'm pretty loaded from here on out still. It's going to come down to the wire. I definitely got to beat Pink Powder Puff Racing. I don't want to change my name next year, and I have a pretty good name for him again next year. So I haven't checked out the points yet, see where I'm stacked up. So should be somewhere in the top 10 still, maybe top 15. But I saved all my allocations for this, and I'm coming for you guys. And hopefully we'll come down to Homestead, see what happens. WFO, baby. Talk to you guys later.
Team 14 with a great call right there. That's the way to go. He wanted to call in live. It's just because I'm under the weather. We are just kind of whipping this thing out today. Team Millerman 2 Brian is 12th. James Gang 13th. Steve the Trucker 14th. Commies Petty 15th. Rich and Saugus 17th. He's on the trophy, apparently.
Well, he will be.
Barbecue Bob is 18th. Rumblers is 19th. Way to go, Rumblers. They're really doing well. SD Alicia, 25th. Mrs. Dirty Hippies, 26th. Lady Oz, 8th. Tennessee Money Man, 32nd, down 5. JG 48 Rocks, down 10, 33rd. Kramer Power, down 4, 34th. Clearside, 38th. Black Ice, 40th. Los Chincones, 41st. Man in Brown, 43rd. So Los Chingones. Don't they have something going, something extra?
Yeah, a finger.
Is that what it is?
Well, that's what we said.
They have something extra.
They do have something in there.
Listen, for next year, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a call-out system. You call out, the call-out has to be accepted, the whole thing. We're going to write it down. We're going to put it in a file. And, you know, now that the trophy is real, everything else is going to be taken to a much, much higher level. Okay?
Absolutely.
Carlos Hockenstuff was in here, folks, talking about the trophy. This is a guy, Hockenstuff. He's not here today because I chased him out because of my sickness. And you could show him Marcellus Wallace's soul inside the briefcase. You want to see something? You can open the briefcase, and the light is shimmering, and everyone else is going like, wow. And Carlos would be like, yeah, I've seen that before. No big deal. Like this.
So
guy,
he just poo-pooed the trophy?
No. That's what's shocking about it. He came in, and he saw the trophy and was stunned, shocked at its glory.
Well, at least I was thinking you were going to tell me that he pulled his regular Carlos.
Well, that's what
the trophy.
That's what I'm
cool.
That's what I'm saying to you. It's like even Hockenstuff had to just gushed over the trophy. How amazing it is! And he says next year he's going to go for it. He wants his name on the trophy.
Dude, it's exciting. I feel like a teenage girl sitting next to this thing.
Los Chingones, 41st. The Man in Brown, 43rd. There's basically 30 points between them. Geo Racing right behind Rudy, the Man in Brown. You guys are 6 points apart. NAR right behind you, 45th. Sacramento Racing Fan, 46th. Aviator Racing, 47th. Wow. Eat My Dust, that's Mrs. Money Man out there in 50th, right behind you. Jimmy Fan Go, 48. That's Mike English's Special Lady Mindy, 51st. Bulls Wool, 53rd. He's down there in Australia playing. 55th Car Acrobatic Team with 8,572 points. And guess who's tail grabbing his ass 10 points behind? WFO Joe, baby. Where is Hawkins Stuff? Where are... You know what? I'm not going to talk smack until I'm in front. He doesn't even know it. How about that?
Wow.
56th. Wow. What a move. Up four positions. I know I can make it to the top 50. How far am I from the top 50? I can do it. I can do it. You can do it, Duffy Moon. Specialty Sportswear, 57th, a little low, and Spark It Up, and Eastern Competition, and yada yada. Flashover Racing, I was rocking the Flashover Racing t-shirt this past weekend. Giovanni's like, who's Flashover Racing? It was like, Flashover Racing, you know. I got a lot of positive compliments on the t-shirt, thank you. Patrick's NASCAR Rubbin and the Night Kids are battling out for 68 and 69, and D-Humps is down there in 70th. Team English is down there in 75th. Team English has to have quit because Super Trucker quit, and they're still ahead of Team English. Come on, Team English. You quit. Restrictor Plate totally threw in the towel, 2,100 points giving up, as did Hockey Kid and all these people.
He's got a new modeling gig.
We got to come up with a punishment for the people who quit, though, because the league is going to be, there's going to be new rules next year. And there you have
it. Hooper, the lawn slave. Where have you guys been?
Yeah, whatever. But there you have it. Smothered and covered. Pink Powder Puff, Hooper 1, 001 Red, and the Northwest Nitro Fanatics. Even Robertson Racing and Four Zilch Racing. And hell, I'll even say the Dirty Hippies. They're all in it.
They're in it to win it.
Anything can happen. Three races to go. There you have it. Fantasy stuff. And now, speaking of the Dirty Hippie, let's find out what this week's Fantasy Tippy is all about.
This is Dirty Hippies with your tip of the week. Did my research over the week for you clowns. It appears we're going to be seeing a lot of Jamie McMurray, Carl Edwards, and a little bit sprinkled in of Austin Dillon in the next few weeks because everyone has burned all their good starts with Logano, Keselowski, and Larson. So look for that. The guys up front, stick with Matt Kenseth. He's going to probably get you a top 10. He's probably not going to be winning the races, but he's not going to screw you either. If you're wanting to come from behind, go for people like Kyle Busch, Casey Kane. They're always going to be fast, but you never know what's going to happen during the race. They crash out or do something stupid. Sturdy Hippies, that's your tip of the week.
Except if Kevin Harvick takes out Matt Kenseth in a retaliatory move.
I was thinking the
move.
Same thing. That's not safe. That's not a safe pick, Hippie.
I'm very concerned that Kevin Harvick. Gio, could you live knowing that that guy is going to go on and win the championship? You know, if Kenseth makes it to the final race, he's going to win the title, finishing seventh, and ruin the whole thing.
He was going to go without winning a race this year. It's only fitting because he won seven races last year and couldn't pull off the championship.
They even said it on the SportsCenter guy who knows nothing about NASCAR. He goes, wouldn't that be the worst case scenario for a driver to win without winning a race? And the answer is yes. That would be very bad. That would not be good. It would sully the whole deal.
I would say they would call for an immediate news format, because the last time Kenseth pulled that stunt, they brought out a new format.
Yes, and that's not good when your champion fails to win a race. Little bit. But thank you, Rich. Excellent work. And yeah, didn't we give Rich a new job? He was supposed to handicap who's got the better opportunity to win, and he says that everybody's out of their starts. It's going to be a lot of Jamie McMurray.
That's not a bad thing. McMurray, first of all, has been fast, and Hendrick engine.
Yeah.
Or a Chevy engine.
Yes. Fair. So. Interesting stuff. He did not say anything about the United States Grand Prix, though, which is kind of interesting, as everyone is going down to Austin. And
Austin, Texas, baby.
Austin, Texas. This is our race, and I've been watching, you know, I follow this Twitter guy, and he's just tweeting everything.
Is he here?
Yeah, he does. This is one of the races where he comes here, and he's always tweeting, like, the view from the balcony, and it's
did he get to go up on that tower?
Yes.
Sweet.
It's great, or maybe he's just retweeting people who are on the tower. This is something that I got to do. I got to do it. I got to get on. I got to get out there. I got to get to Austin one of these days. But I feel like I don't have to rush because, oh my gosh, the race is going to go away next year. This is developing into one of the best races on the tour. And there is a thing going on with a lot of people, and it's because of the news, and it's because of the cable news and the politics, and there's a divide, and everyone's attacking each other, that somehow people in the United States of America have maybe like a kind of a down negative view of us, like, oh, you know, we're not the greatest country in the world anymore, and we're not what we used to be, and no longer. All you have to do is check out what this roving band of international billionaire Formula One types think about coming to the United States. Well, they would know, right? If anyone would know, don't you think the Formula One media corps would know who's good, who's bad, what's cool, what's not cool? Don't you think that they would know? So far, forget last year and the year before, they gave us like A++ grades. This year, it's just been like this spew of greatness. Everyone loving everything. The United States and Formula One and Austin and this place, it's great, and the food is great, and the bands are great, and the city's great, and the country's great, and we love being in America, and the United States is just the land of the free and the home of the brave, and God bless America, and amber waves of grain. That's what's cool, is when people from other parts of the world come here and shed new light on what you have grown to become used to. And it's going to be very cool. It's going to be very interesting to sit back Sunday and watch this race. And Lewis Hamilton was on the Today Show for 11 seconds. A lot of talk about the double points race.
Wow, yeah, that's interesting.
Think about that now. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, wait a minute. The double points race could really just turn everything upside down. It could turn everything upside down in the final race of the season. Lewis could have a huge lead and retire, and Nico could win it and become the champion.
Well, if he's got a 50-point, over 50-point lead, it wouldn't make a difference.
Right.
The odds are he's not going to amass a 50-point lead in the next couple weeks.
No. Some of the down stories, the Marussia team, they appear to be done.
No, I believe they're not even in the race this week. They don't appear to be done. I believe they got a fork in them.
There's still like parts and chassis and stuff, but they were going to sell to someone, and then they did not transfer the shares. There's a whole very Formula One-sounding story going on there. There's certain stories that are just
right?
So Formula One.
It's so Bernie.
Bernie, isn't today Bernie's birthday? I think today is Bernie's 85th birthday. You might want to look that up.
Wow, I hope to make it to 85.
But something I wanted to mention is that this weekend is the big NASCAR versus Formula One showdown in Texas that we had talked about early in the year, and that Eddie Gossage said it'll be a big mistake, and that Formula One said it doesn't matter, we can do it, and they had some words, and here it is. It's race week. What do you think will happen? Well, if for some reason there are large swaths of empty seats at Texas Motor Speedway, whatever the reason is, people are going to blame the Formula One race, and it's going to look bad. If for some reason there are large swaths of empty seats at the Formula One race, for whatever the reason, they're going to blame the NASCAR race or the scheduling. I'm thinking, generally speaking, from what I have seen on the television, that the attendance for the NASCAR Chase races has been pretty good. Talladega, I felt like was really strong. Martinsville, I felt like could have been a little bit better. It wasn't every seat filled, but nothing negative. I feel like people are into being at these races, that these chase races are now more special, that people like being at them even more.
Well, I would definitely, if I had an opportunity at a track that has two races, I would prefer to go to the one in the playoffs.
Playoffs. So I'm real interested. Well, I'm going to be looking at grandstands. There's a battle going on. There's a war raging in Texas.
Well, it's close. They're 190 miles from Austin to Fort Worth. So, I mean, that's less than 200 miles. It's about, you know, at 80 miles an hour, it's 2.5 hours.
Where would you go?
It all depends.
Let's see. You're right in the middle. You got free tickets to both.
Well, if I've got free ticket to both, I'm in Austin this week. Because I'll be at Homestead in a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay.
See, but that's also
that's
a little bit unfair.
You're not allowed
but if
to
I
do
was
that.
In Texas, I would have to, personally, I would go to F1 because I've never actually seen one. And I've been to a gazillion NASCAR races. I go to at least one or two a year.
At least one a year.
Yeah, I try to get out to a second
well,
one.
It's nice when you have
a
the
few,
you're
to Atlanta. Well, when we had the connections to go to different tracks.
I think we still have the connections. It's just about that I'm traveling to 15 different NHRA races, and, you know, you're
yeah,
only going to get
true.
On so many planes to go to so many races, is the way I'm looking at it. I'd like to hit the Dega. That's still on
Woo.
The list. You know, there's a couple that are still on the list.
Gotta be careful. People disappear when they go to the Dega.
Yeah, no, that's what
Another
I hear.
Another person disappeared.
I think I'd like to go to the Dega. But anyway, going to be very interesting, the Rumble in Texas. Formula One and NASCAR. And listen, NASCAR coming in with as much excitement as possible. You got Brad Kay, you got Harvick on the outside, you got Jeff Gordon running well, leading the points. Why not? All right, we're going to take a break, come back, make our picks, and get on out of here. I'm sure there's some things we left on the table and will leave on the table, but not really feeling well. And I'm pretty much a miracle I've made it this far. Do want to mention to everybody a couple things. Number one, next week's show, who knows what's going to happen? Giovanni, we have not made any plans. I leave for Vegas on Monday early. I will not have any opportunity to get interviews for NHRA Nitro, nor will I be...
Oh, and aren't they racing this weekend?
Yes. Nor will they be. Will I be available to do... the Ignition show, and I will be 3 hours behind you. So all that stuff we said about having never missed a show.
Wow, it's all on the table next
week. I think
week.
It goes out the window next week is really what I'm thinking because I got a gig. I'm working for other people. I can't even – there's nothing I can do unless we can come up with something.
We'll figure it out.
There will be some sort of audio file to be downloaded.
We'll figure something out for you.
That I assure you. All right, when we come back, we're going to make our picks for this weekend's action in Texas, baby, at Texas Motor Speedway. When we return, right here on WFO Radio. But first, I want to tell you about the WFO Radio T-shirts. When we got the WFO Radio T-shirts in stock, Giovanni, immediately we got a flood of orders. People wanted the double X, and they wanted the XL, and they wanted the large, and man, I was sending out stuff, and there was this initial wave that just poured over us. But then when that wave subsided, now we're just, there's a trickle of orders, and so we have a limited supply, and so this is where the WFO audience now needs a little encouragement, I think, to get the WFO Radio T-shirts. The 2X T-shirts... there is a single-digit number of stock remaining. So if you're the type of person who requires a 2X T-shirt...
Husky-sized?
Big-boned. Big-boned. These guys are big guys, man. Big men out there working the fields, working the land, wearing the WFO T-shirt out on the town or to the race. They want to get into the WFO store and pick themselves up one. We've got... large, we've got extra large, and everybody who has seen the shirt just absolutely loves it. That's one thing. Gio was rocking his this past weekend.
That's right, at the beach.
It was kind of cool. You see the shirt, and you're like, hey, I know that logo. And it's like, oh, wait, that's Gio. But they're available in the WFO Radio store, and every shirt that's walking around, you're letting people know about WFO and the show, and they should be listening and checking it out, and it's fun, and maybe they'll get in the league, and it's all kinds of stuff. And there is a limited supply, so get yours today. The holidays are coming. Get one for your dad or your friend or your neighbor, and check it out. Here's the shirt. Put it on, or else. We'll be back after this on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe. 954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. The summer is over. The holidays are coming. The winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax Coffee by going to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
WFO Radio is 300 miles per hour of fire-burning nitromethane thunder.
If you want to be called the champ, you got to beat me because we fight for championships. We don't give them away.
WFORadio.com.
WFO.
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 Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO.
Take me to the action. Take me to the track. Take me to a party. If they're betting in the back, I've been working all my life. Can't afford to wait. Let me call my wife so I can tell her I've been late. I want to ease
Vegas, baby, Vegas. Vegas, baby, Vegas. It's that time of week once again where the WFO Radio Handicappers pick you winners this week for the AAA Texas 500 while the NHRA is actually in Vegas, baby. And Formula One is in Texas. Like, it's all going on. Very, very cool. I'm headed to Vegas. Oh, it's going to be great. 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 And of course, I get the flu.
It's going to be great, it's going to be great, it's going to be great.
Better this week than next week.
Hello, I'm here to do the work.
That would have been horrible.
Yeah.
Especially since they're counting on you, you would have to have done something.
No, there's nothing you can do to not have flu-like symptoms. I've tried. There's nothing.
Wow.
So we're going to burn through because we have got the poker guys queued up right outside the door, leering in at us. Not really. They're going to be here soon. I love the poker guys, by the way. Check them out, Poker Action Line. Here are the odds. And we've got Tommy Noodles participating tonight. How exciting is that?
He's back!
Nobody picked the winner last week. We didn't make a big deal of it. Dale Jr. was kind of left off the radar because of chase drivers winning chase races, except now it's getting narrowed down, and it's suddenly it's a different kind of thing.
there's so many drivers that are not chase drivers anymore, eventually they're going to start winning races. And
well, but I think if you were into original chase, that counts as chase drivers winning chase races.
I guess it must. Someone should have seen Dale Jr. winning that race, though, and nobody did. That's our bad. The favorite as seen by the folks at William Hill, the home of betting, is Jeff Gordon at 11-2. Brad Keselowski is 13-2. Jimmy Johnson is 15-2. Kevin Harvick is also 11-2. So he is a split favorite with Jeff Gordon. Joy is 7-1. Matt Kenseth is 10-1. At 12-1, you've got Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin. And 14-1, you have Dale Earnhardt Jr. And those are the drivers that are available for our favorite pick. Now the dark horses. And I don't know what's happened with the odds, but they used to come in like numerical order, but right now they're coming out of numerical order.
I think
order.
Those are the updated ones, that's why. If I had to speculate. So Bob gets them updated and they're not going to change the order.
Totally understand, but for those who have been listening to the segment for a long time knows I usually read them in order, but the page I'm looking at, they're all over the place, so I'm doing my best. Kyle Larson is 15-1. At 20-1, you've got Carl Edwards. At 22-1, you've got Casey Kane. At 25-1, you've got Ryan Newman and Greg Biffle. At 30-1, you've got Kurt Busch. At 35-1, you've got Clint Bowyer. At 30-1, you have Tony Stewart and Jamie McMurray. At 60-1, you've got Brian Vickers. At 75-1, you've got Martin Truex Jr. and Paul Menard. At 100-1, you've got Eric Almirola, Austin Dillon. At 150-1, you've got A.J. Allmendinger and Marcus Ambrose. Danica's 250-1, and the field all drivers not yet named are 100-1. The order is Gio, Joe, Bob, and Tom. So, Giovanni, take it away.
Well, all right, all right, all right. We're going to Texas, baby. We love us some Texas steer barbecue. Everything's bigger and badder in Texas. I know because I've been there, and I like it. And what do you say? Mile and a half, cookie cutter track. We've been there before. I looked up and down the charts, and I said, you know what? I'm throwing this all away. I'm going on gut today. Man was taken out last week. He's been the best car all year. He's just found a way to lose a lot of races. Give me Kevin Harvick, who brought me back into the pick show last year with multiple wins in the chase. Kevin Harvick to bring it home and get himself in the chase. And then next week, he's going to take Kenseth out at the short track.
Oh, that would be great.
There you have it. Kevin Harvick is going to win.
He gets himself in, and then, since he's in, he takes out Kenseth. And makes sure
there
Kenseth
you go.
Doesn't
see, how do you like that? You like that, huh?
I do like
that. That for some cynicism for you.
That's very cynical.
Anyway, and for a long shot, I wasn't going to pick one because Kevin Harvick's going to win the race. But as I look up and down the sheet, I consider Newman because of the way he's been running, and I figure he can top five them to death, but he's not going to win. So just give me McMurray, who's got a Hendrick engine, and he's been super fast. He's just found a way to not finish well either. And it goes away from the chase drivers win chase races. But usually one guy sneaks in there and wins, a non-chase driver wins a chase race. So McMurray as the long shot. Why not? He's been pretty fast.
Doesn't McMurray have Earnhardt or Childress engines?
Aren't they Chevys?
Well, yeah, they are.
That's what I said. You got a Chevy.
You said he... Yes.
Well, look, man. Don't worry.
I don't want to misinform our audience. You know, I think that you, there's one for Geo's tools. You can just
thanks.
What kind of power is Ganassi using? And I really believe that it's Childress stuff. But double check.
I meant to say it was a Chevy engine. Is really what I meant.
So Giovanni takes Jamie McMurray and Kevin Harvick, and you can't really argue against those picks. In fact, Bob Smith, as the email went around, cursed him.
That was Bob. I thought that was you.
No, it wasn't me. It was Bob. Like, you stole my picks, basically. Great picks, Gio. Wow, Gio, you're really channeling greatness there. And I have to agree. I don't disagree with anything. And, in fact, Gio mentions that Harvick can win at Texas and then spend all of Phoenix just chasing Kenseth around, trying to knock him out of the chase. That's something that I hadn't really thought about, but it makes a whole lot of sense and could be a lot of fun. Once you lock yourself in, you can just spend time trying to knock other people out. And what's NASCAR going to do? Is NASCAR really going to intervene? Well, you know, Kenseth knocked me out, and so I knocked him out. What are you going to do? Are you going to knock me out of the championship? Do it. I doubt they would. All right, so I have a lot of great drivers that I could pick, and I'm really looking for a win here. Clearly, Brad K needs it just as bad as Harvick needs it. Texas is where Brad K drove like the devil, and Tony Stewart became afraid. Like, the first time that the fear went into Tony Stewart was when Brad K was driving like a demon out there at Texas a couple of years ago, and Tony got out of the car. I don't know if you have that audio, Gio, but Tony gets out of the car and is like white as a ghost, and he's like, oh, the guy's driving like a demon out there. I don't know what's going on. He's going to kill himself. It's going to be horrible. And Brad goes on and wins the title. It was amazing. And so I'm thinking Brad K, right? Brad K. Let me put him in the list of guys who could win. Well, who else could win, though? You know who else could win? Dale Jr. could go back-to-back. Because Dale Jr. is a momentum, like, energy, emotion driver. He's one of those guys where when he starts feeling it, and he starts feeling good and all of that, he drives better. And he's got great equipment, and Texas is one of those feel-good places for him, just like Martinsville. He has won there. He won his first race there. He won his first cup race there. And the pressure is all off. I think he actually is responding to that. And so Dale Jr. could win there. But I'm not going to go with Dale Jr. either. Jeff Gordon? Come on. How do you not pick Jeff Gordon? Jeff Gordon looking so good. I'm not going with Jeff Gordon. You know who I'm going with?
Hit me.
Joy.
There you go. That's a great pick.
The year of Joy. This has really been a Joey Logano breakout, bust-out year. Why am I picking him over Brad? And why am I picking him over Dale? And why am I picking him over Jeff? Just because Joey has been the guy that you really don't just pick him. And he goes out there and reminds you why you should have. And on the mile and a half tracks, he has been right there with Harvick, with Brad, as the best all year long. Joey Logano punches his ticket into the final race, the super race at Homestead Miami Speedway. Give me Joy. Now, as far as Dark Horse, looking at it, thinking about it, touching on it, I'm thinking about who is a good driver here at Texas who could go. Well, it could be Casey Kane, or it could be Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson is a guy that I could really think this could be where he gets that win. But I feel like the momentum has kind of been broken a little bit with Kyle Larson. He was running great, second, and then now has been involved in some crashes. Tony Stewart fighting desperately to keep that win streak alive. That's something very big and important that is highly motivational. But when the pedal's all the way down, it's all the way down. There's only so much you can do. Instead, I'm going to go with Carl Edwards. 20-1, Carl Edwards, still racing for really big stuff. Not sentimental streaks. Carl Edwards still racing for very important stuff. So give me Carl Edwards at 20-1. And there you have it. Next up, Bob Smith from William Hill, the home of betting, tells us now.
Hey, guys, WFO. We're in Texas this week, and boy, the pressure cooker keeps getting turned up higher and higher. Anyway, this should be a great race. One of the mile and a half quote-unquote cookie-cutter tracks. So if you look at those, I mean, you just have to go with either Penske or Hendrick, or a Hendrick-supplied motor. So when you look at that, I thought about going with Kenseth because he just does so well here, but he doesn't fit my formula. So you know what? I'm going to go with Brad. After last week's race, Brad is in the same kind of pressure situation that he needs to win. So I think he's going to get it done here, and I'm going to go with Brad for my favorite. Now, for my long shot, I have to go with the kid, Kyle Larson. He's going to get a win this season, and I think we just have to make sure that one of us is on it when he finally does get it. So for my long shot, I'm going to go with Kyle Larson at 15-1. Now, the one I really wanted to go with was Junior, but Junior's at 14-1. If he'd have just been at 15-1, I could have taken Junior. Because, you know, this was Junior's first win, and now he's on a hot streak. He's got that confidence back. So he'll just win out the rest of the races. That would be awesome. But anyway, NASCAR would love that. Anyway, enjoy the races, guys. It should be a good one. It's a little later than normal. It's, in Texas, so it's a little later. But anyway, enjoy the races, and it should be awesome weekend. All right, bye-bye.
Bob Smith. How about Bob? Bob taking. Who did Bob take?
Brad K.
Brad K. And
Brad K. And he said Dale Jr. was 14-1 and he couldn't take him.
So who did he take as his second driver? That's terrible. It is horrible. Neither one of us was listening to Bob give his spiel. Don't worry. I did find out while we were not listening to Bob that it is Hendrick Engines under the hood of Jamie McMurray's car.
Oh, so I was right.
You were right. So this is Geo's
tools. He took Kyle Larson.
Hey, guys.
Okay, very good. Kyle Larson. Bob Smith takes Kyle Larson and Brad Keselowski.
Yes, he liked Kenseth, but it doesn't fit the formula of having blah, blah, blah.
Kevin Harvick chasing him around all race. And that brings us to comedian Tommy Noodles. See who he picks.
WFO, it's that time. We are nearing the end of the season. And I'll be honest with you, this week, there's pretty much nobody. There's nobody out there who's shining except for, like, the big names. So as far as long shots go, I looked at this probably a good 2 hours. I pulled out the graphs and the charts, and then I just smashed them and said, this is ridiculous. And I honestly wanted to say, screw it, I'm not taking anybody, but then said, I got to pick somebody. So, you know, and then going last, of course, you get garbage. So, not real happy with my favorite, my long shot this week. Complete and utter waste of time. But the only one that's left that actually has a chance, you know, has had terrible luck. I don't know if it's the Tommy Noodles curse or not. Some people are saying maybe it has affected Kurt Busch a lot. But still a giant fan. And usually this time of the season, I'm looking to jump ship, already picking my 2015 driver of the year. But right now, this week, he's all I have as far as long shots go. That's it. There's nobody. It's not going to be won by a long shot. And then favorite, you can only go with one person, and I don't want to pick him because I know that the Tommy Noodles curse is going to affect him, and I don't want that. So it's another one of those times where you send all the hate mail to WFO, attention Joe Costello, because nobody can find me. But here you go. I'm going Jeff Gordon. I really think that this is a magical season for him. And by me picking him, I just destroyed it. So, thanks. Thanks to me. Even I'm not a fan right now. But those are my picks this week. Jeff Gordon, Kurt Busch. That's all I got. I apologize to all the Jeff Gordon fans. Good day.
Wow, Tommy Noodles wielding the curse like a weapon against Jeff Gordon and all his fans. Very funny stuff, though, I have to admit, when he says he stared at the list for 2 hours staring at it. Because I can see that happening. My imagination. So Tommy takes Kurt Busch at 30-1 and Jeff Gordon at 11-2. Bob Smith takes Brad Keselowski and Kyle Larson. I took Joy and Carl Edwards. And Giovanni Miami takes Kevin Harvick and Jamie McMurray. And those are our picks for the AAA Texas 500 at Texas Motor Speedway.
That was kind of loud.
You got to let him say... And there you have it. The pick segment. Boy, that was just great stuff.
Oof.
Tommy was funny. He brought some comedy to the table. I enjoyed it.
Hey, here, I got something. Let's see how that works. Put your finger on the pot there.
Okay. I'm ready.
Well, let's see. I'm not sure if it's going to work. You should say something just in the meantime while this is spinning.
Oh, okay. You want me to stall for you.
Let's see. Well, here we go.
I thought the two car was going to wreck everybody, but he's kind of got a history of that. So I don't think he wants to live very much longer.
There it is. That was when the white stripe went down Tony Stewart's back when he saw when that. Listen, I'm joking with you about your guy because it's fun and it's funny. And I'm trying to bring back a little bit of levity into the whole Tony Stewart relationship because it's been very, very, very heavy and serious.
This year has been, yeah, very serious.
The past couple of years. Like, we need to get back to the point. Tony is beloved in the world of NASCAR. But that moment, that was a moment. There are moments that we often talk about. And we're about to get on out of here, and I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. And next week, we're going to come up with something. Although I don't know what it is, I will be in Vegas for the SEMA show, and I will be out there Monday through Saturday running around doing interviews at the SEMA show. If you are going to be at the SEMA show and you see me walking around, yell, WFO, and I will stop. It's going to be very interesting. I haven't been to Vegas for many years. But I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. But in the past, I have referenced moments. Here is one. When Carl Edwards and Jimmy Johnson were in Atlanta, and Jimmy Johnson had spun out and fallen like nearly a lap down, and Carl Edwards wins the race, and he gets out, and they're like, Carl, yeah, wow, you won. He's like, yeah, I won. And
that's awesome. Where did Jimmy finish?
He's like, where did Jimmy finish? They're like, Jimmy finished second. And this like, whoa, this wash over him, like, that was it. The championship was over. It was like Jimmy Johnson reached into his back and pulled his spine out, and there was just this gelatinous flesh left over. Well, Brad Kay did that to Tony right there. Like, that was like, wow, this kid did something so special that Tony Stewart took note in his own unique Tony Stewart kind of way. And that was it. That was Tony paying great respect to Brad's driving ability. Judgment, that's a different story. Situational judgment, right thing to do at the right time. But the fact that Brad made it stick clearly shocked Tony based on his comments. And that's that. And the passing of the torch. The torch was passed. Brad Kay became a top dog, a top tier, one of the best drivers on the tour at that moment. And then he went on and backed it up, by the way, and has never looked back. At that moment, prior to that moment, he was the punky kid coming in, trying to make things happen, and who is this guy trying to run on our turf? And after that moment, Brad went on to be a champion and is now a champion and is the guy. And oh, he gets into a tussle in the pits because people don't like him. Don't worry, because next week he wins and goes into the next round. And Brad is undoubtedly one of the best drivers on the tour.
Absolutely.
Who are the best drivers? Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, Brad Keselowski, Kevin Harvick, Tony Stewart, Kyle Busch.
At times.
But Brad
Kyle Busch is one of those special stories like we see it in the other sports all the time. The ceiling is unlimited. It's just, is he ever going to put it together?
We already said we would take Brad ahead of a lot of these guys.
I'd take Joey ahead of Kyle any day.
Yeah, Joey, I would take him ahead of Kyle in a New York second. So there you go, folks. That's going to do it. Thank you very much. I feel like we made it.
Here, tool time. Bernie Ecclestone's birthday was actually October 28th, yesterday, and he turned 84, so a day off and a year off, not a big deal.
Happy birthday, Bernie.
And Indy U.S. Grand Prix 2007, not 2006, is the one that you went to. And Sebastian Vettel raced the BMW Sauber, and he came in 10th and got 1 point, first point ever.
Woo! How about that?
That part of the story was correct.
Take that, hippie. How about that for history, huh? Oh, wait. We're on the same team now. Hey, Rich, isn't that cool that I got to see our guys' first point ever? Ferrari. Woo! Go team. So there you go. Anyway, folks, that's going to do it. Certainly appreciate you listening and suffering through the horrific illness. I would say use Purell wherever you go. And don't be afraid to wear some sort of mask.
SARS mask.
If you're around large groups of people. And, the flu shot in March, I was a big fan. Right now, I'm questioning. Going to the doctor for a routine physical while you are 100% healthy. It seems like a great idea, but I wouldn't be in the waiting room for more than an hour and 45 minutes because that seems to be too long. Like they crawl up your legs and into your
I think over the hour is where you might be in danger, so get the heck out of there if it's been over an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, and one more tool.
That's my bad.
Smothered and Covered and Pink got 262 and 263. And that's why everybody made a lot of points, because everybody was in the 300s.
Wow. So they both missed a huge opportunity against one another.
Absolutely.
They tied. Guys, you got to do something different than each other. That's why Rich York is looking at your teams. All right, that's going to do it. Thank you, everyone. Please check out our sponsors. Get something. Get a WFO t-shirt. All that stuff. We'll see you next week. Somehow, some way. Who knows? Or not, or maybe not. Right here on WFO Radio.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.